Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in downtown Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, around the table today are the past and the future leadership of the Nation Ford Lands Trust. Jennifer McAdams is with us. She's the brand spanking new executive director and soon to be the executive director emeritus. I like that emeritus stuff. Is the one and the only Steve Hamilton. Thank you both for being here today. Have you done all your Christmas shopping yet?
Haven't even started.
That's a girl. That's a spirit I like. And you don't look like you do Christmas shopping.
No, that's my waist. Free.
Okay. So let's do some introductions. Jennifer, you go first.
Well, good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
I guess good afternoon.
Tell us a little bit about you.
I am a proud Winthrop alum. Graduated. That's how I ended up in Rock Hill. Came here in the late 90s. Graduated in the early 2000s with my master's degree in biology. And from there, spent most of my career prior to this at the city of Rock Hill doing a variety of different functions, the last of which was serving as the Economic and Urban Development Director. And then from there, I spent a little time in the private sector, spent a little bit of time at the Catawba Indian Nation, and I'm really excited to have found my way to the Nation Ford Land Trust now.
Good for you. Brother Hamilton, go ahead.
Well, man, as you recall, I was mayor of TUK from 1994 to 2002.
So you're the one that's responsible for all that growth up there.
Well, yeah. I hope not. After that, I joined Nation Ford Land Trust as a one of the board members in 2002. And when I was, my last couple of years, I was chairman of Nation Ford Land Trust. And the young lady who was our executive director at the time had quit rather suddenly, so the board asked me to step down as chairman and take over as executive director, which I've been doing. I was just going to do that for a year or two. I'm into my sixth year now, so I thought it was a good time to. I turned 70. I thought it was a good time to go ahead and retire.
So now what did you do professionally to put food on the table?
I ran an environmental service company in Charlotte.
How about that?
I was president of that, and owner, yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So we have two scientists here. I know nothing about science. All right. So the Nation Ford Lands Trust. I mean, we've got so many new people who pour into this community every day, and that's great. Welcome. If we didn't have the Nation Ford Land Trust, or if we didn't have York County Forever, I don't know what else is out there, we would be in some dire straits in terms of having green space. Is that an overstatement?
That's not an overstatement. In fact, we are now preserving close to 16,000 acres. We either own them or have conservation easements on these properties. So they'll be green in perpetuity at this point.
So who wants to give me a brief history lesson as to how the Nation Ford Land Trust even got started? As they look at each other.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Let me go ahead and take that. We were formed by a couple of excited environmentalists at the time. It was in their hearts in 1989, so we've been in existence for close to, I guess it's 34 years, 35 years now. We started out with just part-time executive director, and we've had a series of those over the years, and we've grown from about, since I took over, about 10,000 acres to about 16,000 acres now.
So you got started because some people were concerned that we were losing too much green space to concrete.
That's right. Murray White being one of them.
Oh, yeah.
Bernie Ackerman another. So folks like that.
Good. So your objective is to make sure that we have enough green space, not only now, but try to do it in the future, because we're growing, as I say, so fast. We got 300,000 people in this county now. And the projections are we're going to have 500,000 by whatever it is, it won't be long.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It is crazy.
And it's, to me, it's not, it is certainly preserving the green space and the open space, but it's also about preserving the things that make York County what it is, right? So I think there's special places like the Ann Springs Close Greenway that we hold the easement on, like the upcoming Catawba Bend Park that I think is truly going to be a cornerstone of this community. And so it's more than saving the environment. It is preserving who we are as a place and as a community.
You know, probably the best example of what you just said is when the county was just starting this Catawba Bend Preserve. I remember seeing an aerial picture done of that section of the Catawba River. And on the northern side of the Catawba River was rooftops, nothing more than rooftops. And you looked on the southern side of the river, and it was just all trees and green space. And that's exactly what would have happened to that stretch of land in time, once the infrastructure got out there, had they not, you know, gone ahead and quietly purchased that land and done it with such a way. And I guess what they did was they pick up the phone and call you all and say, look, we need to put this under a conservative, an easement or whatever. How does that work?
Yeah, that's one way that happens. But mostly they talk to their neighbors. They'll have put properties into conservation easement, and they're excited about the results of it, and then the neighbors will give us a call. We do some mailings throughout the year to property owners, landowners, that sort of thing. So it comes in a variety of different ways.
So if somebody has a chunk of land and they want to preserve it, what would you say is in it for them besides preserving the land?
Oh, that's a really tough question, Manning. I thought this was not a tough question day. No, there's so much.
Ron told me to answer.
It is about preserving, I think, their legacy. I think it's about, again, creating a space for their children and their grandchildren. And I think one of the things that's sometimes misunderstood about this is it does not mean that these families can't continue to use this land. So the way our conservation process works is there is certainly an opportunity to continue to live there if there's already a home in place. There's even an opportunity to carve out space for future homes if they're trying to plan for future generations. It limits what can happen, not that anything can happen. So agricultural uses, for example, is still absolutely allowed out there. Timber uses. So a lot of the things that families are using their properties for can continue under a conservation easement. It just means that 50 years down the road, a developer can't swoop in and turn it into a neighborhood or a business park or something of that nature.
So if somebody has, a big family, and they hope the big family will want to be on the same big piece of property, those kinds of things can be worked out in the easement.
It can be, depending on the size of the property. So sort of the general rule of thumb is we try to limit it to one homestead per 100 acres, again, just to preserve as much as we can. But yes, all of these are a conversation and a negotiation.
And, of course, there's also a big thing. Isn't there some tax advantage doing this?
There are several tax advantages. There's federal tax advantages. There's state tax credits that are given. And additionally, we can sometimes get them funding from the South Carolina Conservation Bank to help with the help incentivize them to put the land in easement. And we can get the due diligence funds from York County Forever, which you mentioned earlier. So there's lots of ways we can get the funding to make these things happen.
So take me through this. I call you, and I've got 500 acres. Yeah, right. I've got 500 acres, and I want to preserve it, but I know nothing about what's involved. So what's the 1, 2, 3?
Well, number one was we would go out and assess the property. We would take our conservation committee out there just to see if there are conservation values that make the property worthwhile for us to proceed with. Then we'll ask them, what types of funding would they require to have, so we can find out where we can help them with the monies that they may need for that.
Let me stop you here. You say conservation values. What would be on that list?
Well, those would be forest lands, scenic values,
certain specific habitats, certain specific species that, again, as our habitats are shrinking, it's all the more important that we preserve places where certain things thrive.
Okay, so, you know, 25 acres of just a bunch of timber probably is not going to be as attractive to you as something that's 500 acres that's got streams and hills and whatever.
Right, and additionally, we like properties that join each other, so there's some continuity and some continuation of the properties and the values that we can protect, corridors for wildlife, that sort of thing.
Okay, so not everybody who wants to do this can do it.
No, that's correct.
There's a vetting process.
There's a vetting process.
All right. So you did this. All right. It has the scenic values. Right. Then you talk about monies. Does that mean that this is an expensive process to do this?
It can be initially expensive. The due diligence funds can be $20,000, $30,000, you know, in that range. So we get help from York County Forever to ease that burden on a property owner, on a landowner. Additionally, if that doesn't work, and that's just for York County. Chester County and Lancaster County don't have those funds available. In that case, we can go to the South Carolina Conservation Bank.
How are those chips over there? I want to make sure you get to So this guy over here, he manages Westminster Park.
Yes.
That's like 400 acres out there, something like that. All right, something like.
Yeah.
Now, is that a part of the, is that an easement?
The along the water, it is, yes, part of it is. We're very grateful for that. It's part of the scenic values along the Catawba River. That's what we try to preserve as much as we can.
So in a case like that, if somebody wants to, I mean, they can preserve a piece of it. They don't have to preserve
that's
the whole
exactly
thing.
That's exactly right.
That's
great.
Huh.
That's
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And that is a beautiful piece of property.
It is.
I mean, it's great.
So that particular property is about a mile long and about 100 feet in wide. So that's how much we preserve down there.
Well, just out of curiosity, let's just say I was calling the shots about the Westminster property, mm-hmm. right? And I wanted to preserve the whole thing, okay?
Yes.
But I had a plan to do sports venues out there, like their disc golf thing and all that kind of, they're making noises. You don't like that?
No, I mean, I think we've got a great working example of how that works at Catawba Bend, right? So
true.
Catawba Bend is going to have trails and active sports. It comes down to sort of how we outline that in the agreement. So in all of these, there's percentages or acres that are set aside that allow those sorts of developments. And again, it really is a relationship that you're entering into with the Nation Ford Land Trust, so that, for example, some of those are really low impact, like disc golf often doesn't require much other than the installation of some markers and baskets, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas some recreation activities are a lot more intense in their disturbance, and so those are sort of the things that we work through in the language of the conservation easement itself.
So in the case of Catawba Bend, you have preserved, I don't know what it is, 1,500 acres, 1,600,
1,700 acres.
1,700 acres. And it's going to have all this different stuff on it, you know, bike trails and walking trails and
yep.
kayaking and, you know, dog parks, whatever. And that's all acceptable. I mean, is there any legal schmeagle that says you can't, you know, you can't go beyond this percentage for this purpose or whatever?
There's limits. And so that's why we were talking a little bit. One of the things that we do annually is go out and visit each of our properties. It's called a monitoring. And we take a look and see what has gone on at that site since the last time we visited. So, again, case in point, because it's an easy point of reference, we were just out at Catawba Bend. They're building the roads that are absolutely allowed in the easement, but some of the follow-up conversation was, can you send us the map so that we can calculate the acreage and so that then we can compare the activities that have happened with what we have defined in that agreement.
So you got to be careful about this. Once you work this deal out, the roads, whatever it's going to be, you need to tighten that up or pinpoint it as accurately as you can before everybody signs the dotted line?
As best we can. And so, you know, this is one, and I think this is going to be the case in a lot of these, you don't know what you don't know. And all of these things are, like I said, a relationship and a conversation.
Right.
So, you know, the original master plan may have said bike trails were going in this area, and now we've got to shift it to this area. That's something that does require board action. It does require a next step. but it's not a next step that can't be taken. It's just something we have to come back and discuss.
Have you ever had a situation, Steve, where you just went out and did one of these, monitor one of the sites, and you said, what the heck is going on here, and you got to fix this? And the landowner would say, oh, I ain't going to fix this.
Actually, most of the time the landowners are very familiar with what's in the easement, and they are very conscientious of what they do, so we don't run into that issue very much. But one of the things that you want to do if you are putting your land into a conservation easement and you want to seek the IRS a deduction, the IRS puts some restrictions on properties too, so you have to be, these things have to be made enough that they'll withstand an IRS scrutiny.
It's kind of like the historical tax credits that they give down here for the University Center and all those old buildings. I mean, you got to do this, and you can't step one out of there, you lose those tax benefits.
That's correct.
Ooh,
yeah.
My God. Wow, wait. This is an interesting process. So how long does it take for me as a happy landowner who wants to have a happy easement to get through this process?
Sure.
It doesn't sound like it happens overnight.
It does not happen overnight.
If we start a project in March, we can probably have you finished by the end of the year, something like that. It can go quick. Sometimes it takes a lot longer, though, if surveys are done and other extenuating circumstances. But 6 to 8 months, possibly a year, but we can get the project completed.
And that's something. Woo! And how many of these, roughly how many of these do you handle a year? You don't grant every one of them, right?
That's correct.
But it sounds like you might grant the majority of them?
We normally work probably one or two projects a year, sometimes three. But that's about all we can handle, really, with the work involved and timings and that sort of thing.
So you outsource a lot of this? In other words, to do these evaluations?
No, we do a lot of that in-house. Of course, the attorneys and the appraisers are outsourced.
But surveyors?
Surveyors, appraisers. And but the baselines and the... that sort of thing we do in-house.
Jeez, wow. I can see you don't want more than a couple of these years. All right, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill, common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors, online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. And you can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Inside this hallowed shrine here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, we do one thing here. We don't preserve land. We're preserving your appetite by giving you fresh subs and salads. Does that work? 6 days a week. How we do it is in the white letters, and you too can join in. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Hey, Alex, have you heard that Substation 2 now has gift cards?
Yeah, I just heard about that, and I'm on my way to get one now. They're perfect for holidays, birthdays, and graduations, and they're reloadable, reusable, and available in any amount you want.
Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Why do you take investment advice from a mutual fund or insurance salesman when you can work directly with a genuine money manager? If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see the difference for yourself. 324-5044 or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
The Piedmont Medical Center Women's Tower at our Rock Hill campus boasts fully furnished labor and delivery rooms and family care suites. Our Level 3 NICU is equipped to provide advanced medical treatments for premature infants and infants who may have complications. Inside the Women's Tower, families begin bonding with their special deliveries in private family care suites, allowing mom and baby to relax with ease. Learn more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Shop for the holidays smarter this year with Founders Federal Credit Union. Now through December 31st, take advantage of 7.9% APR on select purchases made with your Founders credit card. Spread more holiday cheer this year without breaking your budget. Visit foundersfcu.com/cc for more information. Terms and conditions apply. To obtain additional cost information, please contact us at 1-800-845-1614. On July 1st, 2025, the promotional APR will revert to the effective APR as previously disclosed. Visit foundersfcu.com/cc for a list of qualifying purchases.
If you need catering, Substation 2 has a number of options. Right, Charlie?
At Substation 2, we have giant party subs, we have sliced deli meat trays, we have sandwich trays. We basically have everything you need for the party except the people, and we can supply them too.
Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop, with the outgoing Executive Director of the Nation Ford Lands Trust, a guy by the name of Steve Hamilton, who used to serve, you didn't mention this, on the York County Council. You were on there, right?
No, just the TAK Council.
I thought you were on that. For some reason, I thought you were on the organic. I'm sorry. My bad. And the incoming executive director, who knows everything, Jennifer McAdams. Good. So when does this become official, that you're gone and she's in or whatever?
Pretty much I'm gone and she's in. I'll come in for an hour or so a week just to, if they have any questions or need any help with specifics, I can help them.
All right. So staff-wise, it's the executive director and one other person.
Megan Mahoney, who's amazing. Yes.
I'm not sure she is. So right now, in 2024, what have you added to the land trust, or what are you about to finish and adding to the land trust?
We added 28 acres near the Rock Hill Country Club.
Okay.
That was a donation. And we're working on about 450 acres in the McConnell's area right at this point. They're actually two different sites side by side. One neighbor talked to the other and got them involved. And so this is really the way we like these things to work.
Bingo.
This one's happening. So.
Now, these conservation, let me go back. These two you hope to get added by the end of the year?
I'll have one added by the end of the year. This is why I'm staying on an hour or two a week, and then hopefully get one in by early spring.
Okay. He will be available for consultation.
I got that.
What the heck was I going to ask you? Doggone, I lost it that quickly. So you've got, you can build these conservation easements so that nobody has access to these properties except the property owner? Or is there a requirement that the public has to be able to use some of this?
There's not a specific requirement for public use, but we do encourage that. And sometimes it can be done through school trips or educational purposes, things like that. So we do encourage property owners to let us work with folks to come out and visit the properties, but it's not a requirement.
And even then, it's not a free-for-all. It just doesn't mean you have to open your gates and open it to the public. Again, it's something we've preserved because it's worth preserving, so creating opportunities for others to enjoy that is really the goal.
But if, these people have 450 acres, I'm sure there's some nice stuff to see there. But they may not want anybody to come trouncing on their property.
That happens a lot. Yes, you're exactly right.
So, yeah, I guess I'm putting my devil's advocate hat on here. What's in it for the general public if they can't get access to see, go fishing on somebody's stream or whatever?
I think some of it comes back to what we talked about before, which is recognizing the importance of preserving land for the sake of preservation to keep York County who and what York County is, which is it has a rural feel to it, right?
Yeah, sure.
And without checks and balances, I think it could very quickly all become developments, all become neighborhoods. And so understanding and appreciating that really has to be, by and large, the motivation of the property owner for us to work through this process.
Well, you don't want to become an Orlando, Florida. Nothing but concrete from God knows how many miles. You don't even see a tree. So that's what we're trying to do here.
Correct.
Have a nice balance.
Yep.
Okay. So with all this being said, what's coming up in 2025 besides the fact that Steve Hamilton is not going to be there?
We have a couple of projects. In fact, where these two other sites we just talked about earlier is in our new Turkey Creek focus area. And we've got another property owner that's we're talking to. Nothing definite yet, but we're hoping we get some movement there.
And do you said that you send out information periodically.
Yes.
For instance, these two property owners that have got 450 acres between them.
Yeah.
So you'll go take a look at your map and see who's next to them and next to them and next to them and make a phone call or send out a letter or do whatever.
Exactly. We do that. Plus, we target property owners that have 100 acres or so in York County. We'll send out mailings annually to them. So it may not be this year, but they'll remember getting that letter from years past and, oh, maybe it's time for me to go ahead and put this into a conservation area. So that happens as well.
Do you ever have public meetings where you might want to bring together 25 or 30 people and say, let them feed off each other as to why this is a good deal?
So that's a great question and something we just started talking about. I just had this conversation with our board chair and the incoming chair of the board, which is, yeah, making this work more accessible, not just to potential landowners, but to the community. So we're really going to work on additional programming in 2025 that, again, gives an opportunity for people to come together and talk to each other, but also lets people see and feel these properties. Because I'll tell you, one of the things I've learned just in the month and a half I've been here is seeing it on a map and seeing pictures versus standing in these places. It's a very different thing. And to give the residents of York County an opportunity to feel that feeling and to see why the work we're doing matters.
Well, all you have to do is just, when it opens up, just go out to the Catawba Bend Preserve, and you'll understand exactly what they're all about. Because, I mean, that piece of property just takes your breath away. I mean, it's just that magnificent. It really is something. All right, so how does the Nation Ford Land Trust, how do you guys do what you got to do? You got overhead, you got a building, you got staff, you got this and that. How do you do it?
Right now, it's a lot of memberships and donors, and that's something that gearing up into 2025 is going to be an enormous focus of my work, is really spreading the word about what we do and why potential donors and sponsors should want to be a part of that, because it is land that's worth protecting. But to your point, it does cost money. There is overhead involved in all of this. And as this list continues to grow, like I said, we've got to monitor all of these, right? So the bigger we get, the more support we need to continue this important work.
Yeah, the monitoring, I mean, we've got how many properties that are in easements? I mean, numbers?
We service probably about 55 projects.
And 16,000 acres.
16,000 acres.
So when you go out, if somebody's got 500 acres.
It's a long walk.
I was going to say, jump on the four-wheeler and let's go take a look. Huh?
Hopefully we get the landowner to take us around. That's what we like to do.
You need to put a four-wheeler in your budget with a trailer hauling out there.
I agree.
I've been asking for that for years.
Come on, board. Loosen up. So a membership is what? $1,000, $500?
We've got all different levels. So individual memberships are $40. We're actually working on a new corporate sponsorship structure, but right now a corporate membership, I believe, is $1,500. And going into next year, we really are trying to expand our reach and to reach more sort of corporate sponsorships and creating, an advertising package so you know what you're getting from us for your contribution.
So the Land Trust is just working on properties strictly in York County, or are you going beyond that?
We have properties in Cherokee County, Chester County, and we even have one on Dufusky Island.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. We had an attorney in Fort Mill who wanted to work with Nation Ford Land Trust, so we've got 350 acres on Dufusky Island. So I go down there once a year to monitor that.
And Dufusky, do you have to take the boat?
Got to
take ferry
the boat.
Across?
Yeah. Funny you ask, because the last time he actually picked me up and took me across in his private boat, which was nice.
Well, listen, Jennifer, welcome. Congratulations to you. Steve, congratulations on your retirement from this and all the good work that you've been doing. This is a very interesting story, and we'll follow it, I promise you. I know she'll make me do that. Nation Ford Land Trust. And you can find your website is what?
NationFordLandTrust.org.
And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. All right, if they can stop chewing on their pretzels in it over there, their potato chips, we're going to get Buster and the good doc to join in on this. What do we do 5 days a week? No, 6 days a week. 6 days, not seven. Subs, fresh subs and salads 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. How we do it at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.